Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
I think we forget that this man's relationship with the church, when we're talking about those three things on warning and teaching and presenting every man, that is in the context of Paul warning a group of believers doing life together. We forget that all these letters in the New Testament are written to a group of believers, a called out ones, a recognized believers. None of this, you know, we got 18,000 people on roll and 200 show up type thing. Here are the group of people doing life together that we need each other. And I find this to be one of the most disheartening things, because people think because I'm a pastor, all I care about is numbers and all those type of things. I think it was, once again, quoting Charles Spurgeon, he said, those who don't like numbers are probably those who don't have any, right? So it's not about numbers, but I've seen in my personal spiritual journey the need for the local church and shaping me to be the man that I'm supposed to be. If we on one hand say, and because we think it's politically correct, and by the way, I don't need a president or anybody to tell me what gender is. God already decided that, right? I'm thankful that we can vote on those things or whatever we have to do, but God already decided that. When we say things like, well, God created marriage, God created gender, but Jesus also started the church, right? We can't forget that he started the church. And part of our maturity as men is to be involved in church. And what we're seeing, I think the frustrating thing for pastors, youth pastors especially, is all the other things in this life that get our attention. It's no longer the things of the Lord. We're competing with school events. We're competing with practices. We're competing with outings. I jokingly said the other day, we had to cancel church because of the snow. Last two Sundays ago, that as a pastor that used to be in South Georgia, I don't know if you did, Keith, but I've never canceled church for snow before.
I've never had.
And here's unique decision that I just wasn't prepared to make when I first got here. Now it's like, okay, it's bad weather, we got to cancel. But I'm finding that church people don't like to come to church when it's snowing. They don't like to come to church when it's raining. They don't like to come to church when it's sunny outside and good weather. And we're seeing that drastically impact our next generation on that. If it's not a priority for you, it's not a priority for your children. And that's why the attendance and the rate has dropped ever before. And you got to ask yourselves, is what's happening? What's going on? Is there a reason for all this that's happening in our culture? But one of the things that I appreciate at Real Momentum, and what you guys do, Keith, is you help men win in this area with the relationship with the church. So you came in, and I know we only probably have a few minutes left here, but you came in, I don't know, what was it, a couple years ago and did a steak night for us? Years ago, maybe?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, and I tell you, I want you to just say what that is for us, because I'm asking it because I've seen a drastic increase in our men, not only in attending church, but you know there's a difference between being attending and committed, right? I've seen a difference in the commitment of men in our local church from that What's at Stake night. So can you tell us how y'all use that to help shepherd and lead men, especially in the relationship with the Lord and the church?
Yeah, I just think it's a way to either start or restart an intentional, relational, missional ministry to men and through men with others in mind. So we're thinking through the whole process, and this event's just not an event. It's a start to something that we believe is going to impact, you know, generations. And so that event, you know, just is really just to focus on trying to get as many men as you can to come to gather there. And then, you know, they sit around tables, and then, you know, hopefully just trying to model what you want to see multiplied in the weeks and months ahead. But what I found is that What's at Stake night, it just gives us a chance to get something started that the men can become a part of, where they really, you know, maybe are not in a healthy state, but they get to become healthy. And before you know it, they might be teaching the lesson. And I've watched that happen, you know, several times with other men. So I think, you know, when you think about what's at stake or even another event, what is it going to be that's going to create the momentum I need to see in our men's ministry or men's discipleship strategy or whatever? And then how can I capture that on the other side in a consistent, cultivating way where those relationships are being built, where they're being developed, where men are getting to meet men? I mean, we've had men say, I've been to church with these guys for 20 years, but I didn't know them. Well, we haven't created spaces where they can get to know one another. And so that weekly stuff that we've done over the years and helped churches establish over the years is just a pool to fish in, you know, to get to know men. And hopefully out of that, you can get them connected into more of a developing discipleship relationship. And there's ways we do that too. But one of the things I just think is important to understand is that, you know, what's the game plan? How are we going to execute this and think through this and pray through this? And, you know, what I love about even this kind of podcast or even these kind of conversations is we're thinking about these things. We're having to process these things. How are we going to respond to this crisis? And what's our church going to do? You know, what's God telling us to do? So,
We get to think out loud. At least I do when I'm thinking through these things on, because on the relationship with his family, I'm sitting there thinking, man, how can I lead my family better? And we're not the experts of this, right? I mean, we're not sitting on this podcast having it together. If you're listening and you have it all together, we want you to host this thing. I want you to come pastor my church for me because I'm fleshing this stuff out. I tell people all the time, I apologize to no one more than I do my family, right? But there are, I'm not getting paid to say any of this because we did a What's a Steak night before we really had a, you know, much of a relationship with Real Momentum, right? I mean, I knew of you, South Georgia. We got some common friends, but we needed some momentum in our men's ministry. And so when we did our What's at Stake night, I can't suggest that and encourage you listeners out there to host a What's at Stake night enough. And you've said this many times, Keith, in any conference you've done, any conference we've done, any steak nights we've done, that the real win is what happens after, right? It's not about this big, glorious ribeye that you get to eat with several hundred men, which is great, by the way, but it's the real win comes after that. And we've seen that momentum carry on after that. There are plenty of things to do, right? But for your men's ministry to get them involved in church, we're trying to encourage you to do something, start somewhere, right?
Right.
Keith, go ahead.
I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure from doing other things, other focuses, like, you know, whether it's riding motorcycles or, you know, all these other things, playing golf together, hunting together, and all that. I think that comes out of the normal relationships that men have. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend my time trying to create those opportunities. I want to make sure I get the discipleship pathway and the plan correct. So all that can happen on its own where I'm not having to plan or schedule or do those kind of things. The men are going to take care of that. They love sports. They're going to get involved in sports. And we see that happening in our church where guys are trying, you know, getting ready to start playing flag football together. Well, it comes out of those authentic relationships that are developed over time and they want to do things together. So if I've got to create that, I'm probably just an event coordinator, not a disciple maker.
Yeah.
And I need to find another job somewhere else and stop saying I'm part of the church. I'm a disciple maker. So that's what I'm going to focus on. And there'll be some guys trying to pull you away from that. So you got to hold to the line. We're going to warn every man. We're going to teach every man in all wisdom. And we're going to present every man mature in Christ. All this other stuff, y'all can take care of. Y'all can do that if you want to.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's probably why the youth ministry is in the state it's in, because we've been event driven. It's just have a good time, eat pizza, see how much marshmallows you can shove in your mouth, and let's go home. And I'm not saying there's not a time for fun and games. I was a youth pastor. I understand that. But what you come for is what you leave for, right? Once the smoke and show stops, you're going to leave. And so Jesus's model and the model we follow is, hey, we're going to reach men, but we're going to teach men. And we're going to unleash men as well. We're going to help men become mature followers of Christ. And that's a discipleship. That fun and game stuff is great and it's fine, but it wears off, right? So encourage us on this Patrick Morley quote that you have here, Keith. I want to hear from you because you read the book, you understand it a little more than I do. But it's a great quote. Why don't you read it and we'll end on this here as you discuss that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a copy of the book, No Man Left Behind, I'd highly recommend it. And what I want to do is just read his personal story. Patrick Morley leads a ministry called Man in the Mirror. Has written several books on men's discipleship, men's leadership. and it comes out of his own personal journey. So I just think it's worth the time to read that and really to hear his heart cry that he's given his life to over the last 40 plus years. And it kind of starts like this. It says, it's a story that we hear too often. In fact, Pat has lived it. His dad, Bob, was abandoned by his father when he was 2 years old. Bob and his three siblings were raised by a single mom. She did a great job, he writes, but my father never felt the scratch of his dad's whiskers, never smelled his work clothes, never heard him whistle while he worked, never heard him read a bedtime story, never watched how he did the chores. My father never saw his own dad wink at his mom, never heard him say, I love you, son, or I'm proud of you, son. Without a dad, he had to guess at what it meant to be a man, husband, and a father to me. And so when Bob turned six, he went to work with his older brother, Harry, on a bread truck and a paper route before school. They got up at 3 a.m. in the morning, and he had a permanent tardy slip to school. So here's a statement he makes. When a man fails, he doesn't just ruin his own life. He usually takes down a good woman and two, three, or four children with him. And this is where the rubber meets the road, I think, and find a, you know, you can even apply the warning teaching and presenting every man mature in Christ. Patrick Morley writes, when my dad became an adult, he had to decide if he would repeat the sins of his father or break the cycle. He really wanted to break the cycle, Pat recalls. So when dad had four boys of his own, our family joined a church for help. Notice that phrase, our family joined a church for help. Unfortunately, our church had a vision to put my dad to work, but no vision to disciple him to be a godly man, husband, and father. As a result, my dad became a successful worker in the church, but as a disciple, he got left behind. So at the age of 40, when my dad was at the top lay leader in the church, I was in the 10th grade, and my younger brothers were in the 7th, 5th, and 3rd grades. He and my mother just got burned out, and we left the church. The results have been tragic, Pat Morley says. That single decision put our family into a tailspin from which over 40 years later, we have still not fully recovered. Two high school dropouts, drug addiction, alcoholism, employment problems, and divorce. One brother died of a heroin overdose. It has been more than three quarters of a century since my dad was abandoned by his father and 40 years after our family dropped out of church. I can't help but wonder how our family would have been different if our church had offered a men's discipleship ministry. I would never know, but I hope the men in your church and their sons and daughters will.
Wow. Wow. What a great story. And even more so a common one, right? Between most men. I used to tell my first church I pastored there in South Georgia something similar. I'm sure I maybe read it from Patrick, or maybe he got it from me. Probably not. But I used to tell men, your kids need to know what your beard smells like. And that just meant you need to be in their face. You need to be involved in their lives, right? What a great story. Thanks for sharing that, Keith. And we don't want you guessing, men, what it means to be a man. And we want to help you, again, reach your men in your context. We want to reach men, because when men win, everyone wins. So one of the ways to do that is for you to get your copy of this. And we've taught this at our church. I highly believe it. Our men thrived on this. This Helping Men Win 10 Lessons on Biblical Masculinity. You can download the app and request your copy of that. Hey, Keith, I enjoyed talking with you today, brother. It's always a privilege to talk with you and have this discussion on manhood. Anything that you want to close us out on? Any last comments?
Yeah, I just thank you for being a host, and more than that, just partnering with us to reach and lead men. It's
a privilege.
It's been a great blessing for us. We've needed partners, obviously, but you know, when we close this thing out, I do want to just let the listeners know that there's help. You know, when I started Real Momentum, and I probably need this today more than any other day, is the Spirit of God told me that help's on the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. If you want help, man, God's going to send it. God's going to provide it. And we want to be that kind of ministry that wants to help you to think through these things, to pray through these things. You may never read our resource, but maybe you hear the podcast and, you know, you get spurred on to do what God wants you to do in your own local church, your own family, even your own life as a man. So we'd encourage you to go be the man God wants you to be and take other men with you. And if you want to just get more resources from our podcast, you can go to realmomentum.men/rmpodcast and get some leader resources there. You can get the tools that are on there. There's more stuff that's coming in that on the way. So we thank you for the privilege to serve you. Thanks for listening. I pray you have a great day in Jesus.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.